Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, depending on where you're located. Thanks for joining our webinar on how third-party tools and AI can help secure your supply chain. We're just waiting for a few more people to join. We can see people actively joining at the moment. So we'll give it one more minute and then we will start the webinar. And good morning and good afternoon, depending on where you are. Thanks for joining our webinar on how third-party tools and AI can help secure your supply chain in conjunction with Panarays. My name is Brian Martin. I'm Director of Product Management, and I'll be hosting this webinar today. I'm delighted to be joined by Matt Pearson, who is the EMEA VP of Channels at Panarays. Matt is a cybersecurity professional of 30 years, working mainly with cyber startups. He's been with Panarays for 3 years, running the EMEA region and working closely with channel partners to bring next generation third-party cyber risk management to the market. Welcome, Matt. Before
Thank
we
you.
jump into our conversation, just want to talk a little bit about third-party risk management and set the stage for our conversation. If you look back to last year, probably three of the top highest profile breaches that we experienced all involved third-party compromises. If you look at the Marks and Spencer's breach, which was very high profile last year, the threat actors used social engineering to compromise a third-party provider to infiltrate multiple retail networks. In the case of Jaguar Land Rover, the threat actors targeted vulnerabilities in third-party supplier software, enabling lateral movement into core systems, resulting in a 1.9 billion cost to the UK economy, the largest ever in cyber history. And then we also experienced the Collins Aerospace breach last year that resulted in widespread flight disruption and a ransomware attack on the VMU's check-in and boarding platform used by airports across Europe was the attack vector for this. So what we're seeing is a growing targeting of outsourcing third-party providers, managed service providers, and the software supply chain, because threat actors know that by compromising one of these third parties, they can access a multiplicity of targets. What we see actually is a significant increase in third-party breaches. So they've risen 49% year on year and have actually increased threefold since 2021, such that now, every year, we're getting like close to a 50% increase in the number of third-party breaches. 73% of organizations have suffered at least one third-party breach. 98% of organizations, so effectively pretty much all organizations, have at least one third party that has already been breached. But yet only 34% of organizations have a confidence that their third parties will notify them of a breach, pointing to a huge issue. If everyone has parties that are being breached, but we're not confident that they're going to let us know, how do we protect ourselves against the potential for compromise? So you could argue, yeah, let's protect ourselves by using third parties less. Let's take more in-house. But the reality actually is the opposite. The majority of organizations are increasing their use of third parties for obvious business and strategic reasons. They don't want to do it all themselves. They need to rely on specialist providers and application providers to run their business and be effective in today's market. 65% of organizations have increased their reliance on third parties, and 54% are using third parties for more new in-kind services. So, because there's a lot of developments in the market, a lot of new technology, our dependency to use third parties to adopt to these technologies and services is increasing. Many organizations want to focus internally on their core businesses, but with the increasing threat of third-party risk and compromise, we need to find an effective way to manage that risk. So that's it for the slideware. So I'm going to pivot now to open the conversation with Matt. So welcome, Matt. Great to have you here. And maybe we could start with, you've seen the stats there. So give me your perspective on why you think third-party risk management is such a hot topic at the moment.
I think, thank you, and thank you for the welcome. Really excited to be here. So I think when we look at those stats and the customers I'm talking to on a daily basis, I still think there is a most people are looking at third-party cyber risk management in a way that they're maybe using a spreadsheet or they're using people to try and understand it. And there's still people that organizations out there that haven't really embraced the fact that we're going to need tools and maybe AI to solve this problem. So the market at the moment is so hot because there's tools like Panarays out there that can really help people to onboard third parties quicker in a more secure way and really helps them to understand their threat landscape of working with these third parties. It's such a hot topic at the moment, and I'm not sure most organizations or some organizations out there have moved on from a spreadsheet, a questionnaire, a yearly assessment, and trying to really understand their third party risk properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were definitely seeing that as well in the market. And, there's third party risk. You talked about, onboarding and adopting third parties, but then also there's the continuous management of third party risk as well. So how does Panarays fit in the whole ecosystem of third party risk management and that whole life cycle?
Yeah, so the first thing Panarays will do is really help organizations to understand who their third parties are. Whilst a lot of companies do understand and know who their third parties are, there are organizations out there that still don't understand who those third parties are, and not just who they are, but the criticality of them and what types of data they're sharing with them and what are the risks of actually working with those third parties. So the first thing Panarays will do is an assessment on who the third parties are. And then once we've assessed who those third parties are, we're then going to understand what the criticality of those third parties are to you as a customer. And we're going to work with your risk methodology to understand how important some of those vendors are to you. And then once we've done that, once we've really ascertained who the third parties are and what the criticality of them are, we're going to do an assessment on them and understand if there's any risks of sharing your data, interacting, having any applications with those third parties. So we're going to do an assessment of of those vendors, and we're going to do that in a number of ways. So we're not going to just do it with a scan, which a lot of organizations do. So a scan is like an external scan of the publicly available information on that third party vendor to see if there's any vulnerabilities, breaches, things going on. We're going to do it in conjunction with a questionnaire, which is a unique questionnaire based on the things that you want to understand from that third party. Maybe that's a regulatory questionnaire. Maybe it's something you want to understand in terms of your data sharing. And then we're also going to use AI as well, as the third data point for us to understand the risk of dealing with third parties. So that is a very comprehensive context-based assessment, that we're going to do on those third parties. And once we've gone through that process and understood the risks, then one of the most important things that people don't really use at this moment in time is we're going to continuously monitor them. So you imagine if today you're using a spreadsheet, you do a yearly questionnaire. Once that yearly questionnaire comes back and you've approved that vendor, you tend not to think about them again until the next year when you've got to go through that process again. What Panarez will do will help you continuously monitor that vendor so that if in 2 weeks' time after you've approved them, they had a breach or a vulnerability or something that's happening in their environment that could be dangerous to you, you're going to find out about it immediately. So we're going to help you with that process so that you continuously monitor. We're going to flag up incidents. You may be following a regulation like an IS2 or a DORA where you have to report instances or third party instances immediately. We're going to allow you to do that, and we're going to manage that whole life cycle, if you like, of that third party onboarding, third party assessment, and then third party continual monitoring, and then reporting and auditing if you have regulations that you need to follow.
Yeah, it's interesting about the continuous monitoring, given the fact that everyone has at least one third party that has been breached, but yet we're not confident that they're going to tell us when they're breached or tell us quickly. So this idea of, if your third party is compromised, then effectively there's a potential that you're also compromised, or very at the very least that there is a business continuity issue, and even, potentially even worse than that, that your sensitive data could have been compromised as well. So the idea then that you can pick up on that, in real time, rather than waiting for whenever the third party decides to inform you of the situation, obviously that can give you some comfort to know as soon as is possible that you have an issue to address.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only are we going to continuously monitor the third parties you're dealing with and flag up anything that's happened, we're going to continuously monitor yourself, you as the customer as well, and flag up if anything's happened there as well. So we're going to be continuously monitoring you as the customer and you and the third parties. And then we're going to show you those findings that we found, and we have a workflow automation within the tool that can monitor most of those incidents, but we can also make sure that that workflow automation involves a human person as and when is immediately needed. So we can help you build out a workflow that really works for you. So we're not just going to flood you with lots of information that says, look what's happened to your third parties. We're going to make sure that those are the instances that are really important to you. And then we're going to help you using AI, but we're also going to make sure there's human intervention if something needs to be done immediately. So it's a big part of the tool that we want to
Yeah.
make sure that this isn't just AI and we're just leaving everything to the computers to understand, but we want to make it so that the tool works for you as a customer. But we also are going to make sure there's human intervention if that's needed.
Yeah, my sense of it is that historically there's a feeling that there is quite a lot of drudge work involved with third-party risk management, because you've all these questionnaires with spreadsheets, and you need to chase the third parties to fill out the and respond, and then often they don't answer certain questions or not correctly, and there's a continuous feedback loop, and then you need to assess those responses, because very often they're incomplete, or they kind of indicate a certain risk level, and so there's an awful lot of overhead associated with that, particularly for an organization that could have hundreds or even thousands of third parties to deal with. So that it's interesting you talk about AI can help with that, but you still keep the human in the loop. So can you elaborate a bit on where the AI is helping to streamline and optimize third-party risk management?
Absolutely. So a big part of Panarez is the collaboration we have with third parties. Obviously, you mentioned just there that maybe people don't want to answer questionnaires. They don't want to interact. They're busy. They've got their own questionnaires to answer. So we're trying to help with that process by using AI. We use something called Smart Match. And Smart Match basically is a way of, well, it helps both third parties and yourself. So the way that we can help third parties to answer questionnaires is we can allow them using AI to send their documentation, and we'll read that documentation using our Smart Match technology. That Smart Match technology will answer the questionnaires for the third parties. Now, I didn't obviously AI is not infallible, and it's probably going to answer 90 to 95% of the questionnaires, but they'll still need to answer 5% of them. But that's a whole lot better than having to answer all of those questionnaires all the time. So we're really trying to help the third party with that process. So I mentioned that we can read their documentation. We can also look at their previous questionnaires and utilize some of those previous questionnaires and just look to see if there's been any changes. And we could also use AI by going out onto the web and looking for some answers within the web and the publicly available information on that third party. So we're really trying to streamline the process for the third parties, make it easier for them. But that's not all we're doing either. That's not all we're doing. As well, we're working with the actual customer, and we're helping the customer to answer their incoming third party questionnaires. So we may well help them with filling out their questionnaires based on their previous answers they've used for questionnaires. So this is going to save them loads of time. Customers love this part of the tool. It is part of the tool and built in. We're going to help them answer their own questionnaires. And we can also help them to build a trust center. So a trust center is becoming more and more prevalent these days. A trust center basically is all of your information on your company. So it may be your certifications, your attestations, your pen testing, your security questionnaire, all the information that you might want to share with a third party in one place. And we're going to allow you to share that in a secure way with your third parties. And lots of third parties now that use PanArrays or use other tools are accepting trust centers rather than ha asking for questionnaires to be answered. So we're helping both sides really with the AI function, this smart match technology. We're helping both sides from answering a questionnaire perspective and providing trust centers and accepting trust centers as well. And it's a really big part of the collaboration piece that we're using today with third-party vendors and customers.
Yeah, because it seems historically there's been a lot of friction in third-party risk management, both on the production side in terms of creating and managing that whole questionnaire process, but then also on the third-party side to, fill out quality responses. So it sounds like you're helping with the friction on both sides of that. And interestingly as well, like pretty much every organization is also a third party, as you mentioned. So the fact that you can also leverage that to help in your own position as a third party, it means you're getting more kind of value, if you like, from the investment on both sides of the coin, which is really, really good. The other question I was thinking about AI was that, so you've talked a bit about how AI can help streamline processes, reduce friction, improve quality, and improve insight into risk, etc. But is AI itself and the advent of AI creating more third-party risk out there? And is that driving a greater need for third-party risk management in the fact that, I guess, the AI software supply chain, if you like, is a little bit hard to follow and to parse, and many organizations and enterprise applications are building in AI into their applications, but maybe themselves leveraging third-party models and frameworks, etc. So what's your view on the what AI is driving in that whole realm of third-party risk management?
It's a great point and a great question. So we're seeing more and more AI vendors coming into organizations and shadow AI coming into organizations. So we're actually bringing out a within the roadmap within the next quarter, we're bringing out a function that can help you understand who your AI vendors are, assess them, and then understand how you can work with those AI vendors. It's a real key point at the moment. There's lots of companies out there. If I was reading a report the other day that an organization thought they had 38 AI vendors they were working with, and they did a scan on those how many vendors they were actually working with. It was more like 85. So the shadow AI out there that people are working with is real. And we're working on a solution that will come out in the next quarter, as I say, that will really help you understand who those AI vendors are that you're actually working with by doing our supply chain discovery, specifically for AI, and then understanding exactly what the risk is of dealing with those AI vendors by doing a full assessment on them, and understanding what data and what interaction you're having with those third parties, third party AI tools. It's a key part of what Panarays is moving towards at the moment. And I'm sure every organization out there at the moment is seeing AI vendors they're working with, and they probably don't even know they're working with them. So yeah, it's an absolute key part and a great question.
Yeah, I actually see an analogy between third-party risk management and other realms of cybersecurity in that there's a proactive risk side, which is all about visibility and understanding exposure and risk. And then there's other aspects around detection, response, and taking responsive action. So it sounds like, third-party risk has similar. Is a similar microcosm of all of that, in that you need to understand your third parties, whether AI or not AI. You need to manage that risk. You need to detect when something changes in the environment so that you can respond to it as well. So it's interesting how it mirrors actually the full life cycle of cybersecurity.
Yeah, I think spot on. And really what Panarays and what the third party cyber risk management tools are doing are trying to make sure that everybody you're dealing with from a third party perspective has the same security posture and the same defense that you have within your own systems internally. And everybody's been so focused on what's going on in their own organization that they haven't really focused on what's happening on the third party people that they're sharing their data with, that could be just as risky. And as we've seen with the companies you mentioned in your slide decks, these all got breached. This wasn't because they hadn't put a proper security posture into their own environment. It was because somebody else hadn't done that and that they didn't understand that risk.
Yeah, exactly. And that is that whole area of, third party risk. It's like behind every third party there's their set of third parties, and behind them is their set. So you've got like fourth party and fifth party risk. So how do you think about that, and how can we defend against that sort of, risk that or exposure that is like several layers deep, if you like, in the ecosystem?
Yeah, so part of the Panarays tool is within the risk insights part, which is the continuous monitoring part, is where we're going to help you understand your fourth, fifth, and nth degree vendors, and whether there's been some risk with them as well. So within the risk insights portal, you can see who your direct suppliers are that have been affected by certain vulnerabilities, like a Log4j or something like that. But you can also see beyond that and see who your fourth and fifth and sixth nth vendors are that have been affected by that vulnerability or that breach or something like that. And what we can do with that, what we can do with our risk insights portal is we can then send out a questionnaire to the direct ones and say, look, guys, we've been affected by this vulnerability or this breach. We can see that you have as well. We've mitigated it in this way. We want to understand how you've mitigated it as well, and has it been fixed on your side? So we can automate that process for you without you having to just send an email saying, look, have you done something about this? So Panarays can really, really work with you and understand how you mitigate things once they do happen, because let's be honest, they are going to happen at some point in the future. And Panarays can help you manage that process.
Yeah, and totally, it's about, we talked today about not just cybersecurity, but cyber resilience. And yes, you want to anticipate and withstand attacks, but you also need to be able to respond and keep the business running. And very often third parties are sometimes omitted in terms of third party. Are they're omitted or neglected from the point of view of business continuity planning and business continuity exercises. So it's great that you have, you can provide an ability here to get that visibility, so you can model that out. Well, what happens if that supply chain does fail or does get compromised, how that affects my continuity and how I should be able to recover from that as well.
Yeah, spot on. Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier, you talked about DORA and NIS2 and other regulation around that. So how is the regulatory landscape changing in terms of third party risk? Because generally, managing third party risk has generally always been in the best practice frameworks and standards for cybersecurity, that you have need something around it. So how is that changing, and how can the technology help you address those regulatory kind of mandates that you have now?
Yeah, so DORA is obviously the most important thing in the third party risk management landscape in terms of it demands if one of the ICTs within your DORA framework has had an incident that you need to report it in a certain time, and that auditing that you have a third party risk management program is part of the DORA framework. We have a component within our tool that helps you go through that DORA process. We can manage DORA questionnaires, we can more manage DORA reporting back into DORA and DORA auditing. So DORA is really demanding that organizations understand who their third parties are, have a program to manage them, and then if there is an incident, reporting it in a timely fashion. So DORA is a big one that's really driving a lot of the market at the moment in the TPRM space, or TPCRM or TPSRM, wherever you look at it. So TP cyber risk management, or TP security risk management. NIS2 is not quite as demanding, but there is a third party component to NIS2, and again we have a module within Panarays to deal with NIS2. So in fact, we're working with SIG, the Shared Assessments Group. I don't know if you know those guys or people out there know them, but they are the de facto standard for providing questionnaires around regulations. And they come up with the questionnaires around DORA, NIS2, and various different things like PCI and GDPR. And Panarays has really embraced that and work it, and is working with them to provide and help with those questionnaires and help with reporting into those various different regulations like DORA and NIS2. So it's a big part of the tool. It's something we've embraced and we've worked with lots of organizations to get them through that process. But the actual incident, the fines that are going to come from DORA or some of these regulations are around reporting on instances with third parties, and we can obviously help with that immediately. And it's a big part of it.
Yeah, and given these new legislations, putting such an emphasis on third party risk management just highlights the importance of third party risk management in cyber resilience, which is most, is the main focus of some of these new acts that have come out. I should
Totally
have
agree.
said it. I should have said at the start. So apologies that. There is a Q&A button on the screen for all the attendees, and we will have a Q&A section at the end. So I'll encourage everyone, as we're chatting away here, if you have any questions, please do put your questions in the Q&A section, and we will get to as many of those as we can towards the end of the session. So moving on then, Matt. Maybe let's get into real world examples. So can you give a real world example of a customer view on how Panarays has or could have saved the day in a third party attack or a breach?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a number of enterprise customers with thousands of vendors. One of those enterprise customers had 8,000 vendors, and they came to us and they loved Panarays and they liked it. They had budget for 4,000 vendors, and they saw those 4,000 vendors as being their critical vendors or semi-critical vendors that they wanted to assess, and then they left the other 4,000 to just be assessed on a normal questionnaire standard basis. Unfortunately, they were breached quite badly after deploying Panarays, and it was one of the vendors that they really didn't see as critical, and they didn't see as somebody that they might actually get breached by, or that they were actually sharing any important data with. And it was one of the 4,000 that wasn't in the Panarays purview, and they got breached quite badly. And after that, they came back to Panarays and said, "Do you know what? We think if we'd had Panarays on all of our vendors, we would have probably actually don't think it would have happened." They quickly purchased the other 4,000, but the horse had bolted. So understanding who your vendors are, understanding the criticality of them is absolutely key and important. But having an understanding, having something watching and assessing on all of the vendors is absolutely critical, because you never know which one of those small little vendors is going to get breached or attacked or have a vulnerability in their software, and that will then lead to them being able to get access to your environment. So it's a bit of a horror story, it's a bit of a scare story, and something, I'm not trying to scare everybody, but it's a real story. It's a real something that really happened in real life. And yeah, that's some and much as I would love that customer to write and put it in documentation that if they'd had Panarace, they wouldn't have been breached. I don't think they're going to do that, but it's a real story.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it probably points to what can sometimes feel overwhelming when you have 8,000 vendors. It's impossible to treat them all with the same level of, effort, because it's impossible to go into minutiae and details in all of them. So how do you kind of, let's say you were, monitoring and managing them through the platform, all 8,000. How do you go about determining which are the critical ones that need that higher level of attention?
So we have a part of the software that can work with the customer to understand what their risk appetite is, and then we will categorize the vendors for you, so that we can help the customer to understand which one of those vendors are going to need critical continuous monitoring. Which ones are we're going to put into the so there's three different layers within Panarace, three different types of licenses. So you have a monitoring license, which is something that where you're monitoring that vendor all the time. And we then have an assessment license, which basically allows you to assess the vendor twice a year and with questionnaires. And then we have something we call smart inventory. The smart inventory allows you to keep an eye on the vendor, make sure that their cyber posturing is at a level that you're comfortable with. And then if something does happen to that vendor, we can see that within their cyber posture rating going down dramatically. And then we can immediately go in and do an assessment of them to make sure to try and understand exactly why that cyber posture rating's gone down. So whilst we're not going to monitor all of the vendors all of the time completely, we're going to give you a good understanding of something has dramatically changed with one of your vendors, so you can go in and do a proper full assessment on that vendor.
Okay, perfect. And when you go in and you talked earlier about the discovery, the ability to find out who all your third parties are, do you often find there's a disparity between what the customer thought they had versus what was actually found when you went in and did that discovery?
I mean, there's a lot of shadow IT out there. And part of the supply chain discovery is that we're going to look at the digital footprint for you of all of the people you're dealing with, all of the vendors you're dealing with. And then we're going to give you a commonality score for those vendors. So supply chain discovery is part of the Panarace tool. It will tell you all of the vendors we think that you're dealing with and the footprint, what the digital footprint looks like. It will provide evidence as well and show you what the assets are that they're dealing with. And then you can make an informed decision about whether they are a real vendor that you're dealing with and somebody you need to do an assessment on, or whether it's something else and that you don't need to. So supply chain discovery is a massive thing for us and really helps organizations in the very early days of their TPRM journey. Excuse me. Of their TPRM journey to work out which vendors they're going to need to continuously monitor, which ones they're going to assess, and which ones they're going to put into inventory and just keep an eye on.
And is that the main gap that you find between what they think versus what is found? Is it mainly to do with shadow IT?
Yeah. And a lot of AI stuff at the moment, obviously. So there'll be organizations out there that have people using AI that they don't even know about. And it's becoming more and more common, and this is why we're bringing out this module in the next quarter, and the fact that the supply chain can probably pick up a lot of that stuff already, but we want to look at the AI bit specifically to help organizations understand exactly what they're what the users and what the organization is using as a whole on from an AI perspective.
I'm curious about how you deal with the big third party. So, for example, Microsoft has hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of enterprise and business customers around the globe. How is that dealt with from a third party risk point of view? Is everybody going to send a questionnaire to Redmond to get them to fill out their risk profile, or how do you deal with that? Because obviously you have very niche specialist providers that you might have a very close relationship with, and then you have these big players that you maybe have a very distant relationship with.
Yeah, so we can segment up companies. So we can either divide them up from their domains and have them specifically looking at, I don't know, Microsoft O360, 365, or we can have Microsoft as one big domain and then segment up the services, the different aspects of Microsoft within that one big domain. So there's a number of ways for us to do it, but we can do it. We can make sure that we're looking at not just Microsoft, we're looking at various different things. Yeah, we can do that. No problem. The reality is Microsoft going to answer a questionnaire? Probably not. So the actual AI function within Panarray is understanding exactly what information we can glean from the Microsoft, from their documentation, that can help us to answer our security questionnaires that we may have to fill out. We can do that by using a lot of the scanning and the AI function within the tool to help us to look at people like Microsoft, Oracle, and those types of things.
And there's a kind of a practicality there around what's reasonable and feasible. But yeah, it's good that you can at least narrow down the technical evaluation specific to a subdomain or whatever it might be. So we talked a lot about the risk management, risk reduction, ongoing vendor management. What about security operations and Panarray's in the SOC, shifting from reactive detection and response? So what is the role of the likes of a third party risk management solution in security operations center?
So we can definitely provide information and a data feed into a SOC. We're working with a number of tools at the moment, like all of the big ones you can think of, like a Splunk or a Sumo Logic, those types. And we have an OpenAI, and we can be a data feed into those SOCs. And we do that with a number of our partners. So yeah, we're very can be very much part of that SOC process.
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's a powerful form of threat intelligence, isn't it? To look at the external landscape and how a third party or even a fourth party or fifth party might have been compromised by a threat actor. And that's very useful information to know when you're investigating an incident or whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I say, like it's a key data feed into doing the investigations into where something's come from. Like if it has come from a third party, you're going to want to understand that within the SOC. Otherwise, you're just looking at your internal information and trying to understand and then trying to work out. I used to work for a SOC vendor, so I know that space reasonably well. So it's an absolute it could it's an absolutely a key feed into that SOC. To help them investigate.
Yeah, totally. Because that visibility of your assets, your posture, can really inform and provide a lot of context for an investigation. And equally, the third party side of things is a massive contributor into that as well, I would imagine. So, hence
Yeah.
the value of that within the security operations center. So we're getting close to the point where we start to move to the Q&A section. So I'll continue to encourage everyone to submit their questions. I see a few have already come in, so looking forward to addressing those with Matt shortly. Before we go there, We've talked about a lot of different aspects, Matt, around third-party risk management, from the discovery to the monitoring to the use of AI to the risks of AI, how to reduce friction in all the processes as a third party yourself, as well as your own third parties, and managing the whole process. So we've covered a lot there. Could you, maybe we'll just finish off this segment of the chat, just to, if you had to have a kind of a single piece of advice, a key takeaway to, what the audience can take away to bring into their own organizations, in the next week or so, in the weeks ahead. And what would that be?
I think understanding who your vendors are is absolutely critical. So the discovery piece is something we can really help you with. A lot of organizations will think they have a handle on who their third parties are, but there'll be many more than you realize. So the discovery is absolutely key. And then once you've done that discovery, then you can make decisions, real decisions on how you want to manage that third party landscape. And doing a proper assessment on those third parties is key as well. So discovery, proper assessment on each of those third parties, and then understanding which ones are critical to you that really could cause trouble if something happened, and monitoring them is the next step. And I think personally, I think moving into this AI world that we are, understanding who the AI vendors are that you're working with in your organization is going to be key moving forward, because breaches and data gaps and people lose data loss within organizations is going to be huge, and a lot of that can happen through AI. So I think moving into the future, AI is going to be where we're going to be focusing a lot of our time, understanding who those vendors are, what the risk is with dealing with those vendors, and where you could possibly get breached by those AI vendors.
Yeah, it seems to boil down to visibility is key. Visibility
Yes.
of who your vendors are,
Yeah.
visibility of which ones represent the most risk to your business, visibility of their risk posture. So getting those assessments in so you have a clearer picture, and so you can actually take proactive action around managing that risk. So, but it all starts, as you say, with that visibility, and given sometimes that the magnitude of the estates that you have of third parties, it makes logical sense that you need to use the best solutions that are out there in order to help you do that effectively and efficiently and at
Yeah.
scale. So that's really, really, really insightful and very interesting conversation, Matt. So I really appreciate it. What I'll do now is I'll pivot now in a moment to the Q&A section. So I'd encourage again people to share their questions in the Q&A. Just while people are doing that, just to share a couple of things about upcoming webinars that we have. So first of all, we have a webinar coming up on the 21st of April. It's called The Dead Internet Theory: What AI-Dominated Web Would Mean for Security. And this theory that, the majority of online activity is actually not humans anymore, but is actually, AI bots generated and so forth. What does all that mean for us as a society, and what it particularly means for security? So you can register through the QR code there. And then just to highlight our ongoing program of Security First conferences, wherever you are, we've got four completed under the belt. Next up is South Africa in Johannesburg on the 14th of April, and Cape Town on the 16th. But as you can see there, a full program across Europe, Africa, Caribbean, and more to come to be announced as well. So again, follow the QR code and sign up to a Security First conference near you, and you'll be in for a day of entertaining but also very insightful content from a wide range of experts, all in cybersecurity. So let's move on now to the Q&A section. So I'll just pull up some of the questions that have come in here. So I think the first one we kind of covered it already, but can PAN arrays help with discovering and categorizing our third-party vendors? I think, Matt, you really covered that. Is there anything else you'd like to add to elaborate on that question?
No, I don't think so. What we do is by understanding how many vendors and categorizing them, we do that as a pre-sales process. So if you are thinking about looking at a tool like PanArrays and you want to understand how many vendors you've got and what those categories look like, then we can help you as part of a pre-sales process before actually buying the tool. So it's a good process to go for if you are thinking about doing it without having the commitment of purchasing the tool.
And you touched a little bit on this earlier, but I think it kind of follows on from that question is how is it licensed? So you talked about the monitoring piece and then the assessment piece and so forth and the inventory piece. So can you just maybe just summarize, if you like, the licensing structure and how it scales up and down?
Yeah, certainly. So it's licensed per vendor per year. It's a SaaS license. And there are three different types of licenses. Monitoring is for your most critical vendors, and it scans and questionnaires every 3 days. It scans every 3 days, and then you get questionnaires as well. Then you have an assessment license, which is a scan twice a year and questionnaires. And then you have an inventory license, which is really where you put all your vendors that you're not going to assess into, and then we're going to give you a score on those vendors based on a scan that we do on them.
And is it possible to move vendors then if they're in on the scanning side and they starting to represent a bigger risk? Can you move them into a more continuous monitoring and evaluation category?
Absolutely. So most customers have a mix and match of all of those vendors. And yes, absolutely. So if you see something inventory that you don't like, that score's gone down, then you can move them up to assessment or monitoring immediately. So yeah, that's a key part of it, of the smart inventory, because we want to keep an eye on those vendors, but we don't want to do a full assessment on them. But if something happens, then we want to move them, find out exactly what's happening immediately.
And there's a question around where does PanArrays, how is it implemented? Is, can it be on-prem? Is it all in the cloud? You mentioned it's a SaaS platform. Where is the data hosted? Because obviously PanArrays is also a third-party platform, and if it's compromised, that is sensitive data belonging to the organization. So can you talk a bit about the hosting infrastructure, if you like?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it sits in the cloud. We don't have an on-prem version yet. It sits in the cloud on Google Cloud in Belgium. We chose that very carefully because it has a lot of the security function that we were looking for. It's in the EU, which obviously has a lot of security legislation around it, and it's. We have a very good uptime, and we have not come close to having a security breach yet. Fingers crossed.
Very good. Then there's a question around integrations. So, if you wanted third-party risk management, or sometimes sits within kind of the wider concept of governance, risk, and compliance. And there are even tools out there that do a form of third-party risk management. But obviously, if this is just one part of wider GRC, is there any integrations with the bigger or GRC platforms or even ITSM tools such as Archer, ServiceNow, SAP, and those types of platforms.
Yeah, so absolutely. We've obviously got a lot of enterprise customers, a lot of customers across the board, different sizes. So we've built integrations into a lot of the tools you just mentioned, into SAP, Jira, ServiceNow, and can be a key feed into some of the bigger GRC tools. So a lot of the bigger GRC tools will have a TPRM module, but they don't focus on the cyber data like PanArrays does. So they'll utilize PanArrays as a feed into their TPRM module, with the key data and the really in-depth data that PanArrays can offer. So yeah, we built a lot of those integrations out already, but there's a REST open API that we can utilize as well if we haven't got an integration that you need, and that's part of how we can onboard you. So it's a very easy process.
Excellent. So at the moment, that is we've got through all of the questions from the audience. So I think we're ready to finish. the webinar. So it just remains for me to thank Matt for joining us today and sharing his knowledge and insight, and to thank everyone for attending. Hope you found it informative, and have a great day.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for hosting us. Brilliant.
Thanks, everyone. Bye now.